Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up again this week to John chapter 10. If you've been with us, you know that we are in the middle of a series titled I Am, a series that's based on the seven I Am statements that are found in the book of John. Throughout this series, I've given kind of a little background on the book of John, the fact that it's one of the first four books of the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels. I've talked about the fact that it's a lot different from the other three books, the other Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are actually known as the Synoptic Gospels. And that's because they have very similar stories and layouts to one another. But John is different from those first three Gospels, as it focuses less on the details of Jesus' life and the different things he did, and really more on who Jesus was as a person. And so it's different, and it's here in the book of John where Jesus made these seven bold statements where he declares who he is, right? And it's these seven I Am statements of Jesus that we have been unpacking throughout this series. And so each week, I've made it a point to remind us that this phrase, I Am, it goes all the way back to Moses and the burning bush. When God told Moses, when he said, who should I say that you are, right? Who is this? Who's speaking to me from this burning bush? And he said, I am who I am. And that phrase, when you look at it in the Hebrew language, that phrase, I am, is the word Yahweh, right? The word for God. And so this is extremely important to understand, because when Jesus uses that phrase here now in John, now here in his time when he's on this earth, when he uses that phrase, I am, he's making a statement, a powerful statement, right? He's making it very clear to anyone that is listening that he is claiming to be Yahweh, right? He is God, the great I Am. Now, we kicked off these statements a few weeks ago, and we looked at the first statement that Jesus made when he said, I am the bread of life. And that week, we kind of talked about the fact that we often hunger for the wrong things, right? We go after the wrong things. And the fact that Jesus is the only thing that will actually satisfy our hunger. He is the bread of life. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at the second statement where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And we talked about the fact that Jesus is the light. But we also talked about the fact that he said that we too can be light, that he has called us to be his light to the world. And then last week we talked about the fact that Jesus says, I am the gate. And we talked about the fact that he is the gatekeeper, that he is the gate to salvation. No one comes through that gate without him saying so, right? No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And so last week's message centered around this idea of us as sheep, right? That the gate was referencing sheep going into the gate pen or going out of the gate pen. And so we talked about this idea of us as sheep. And this next I Am statement that we're going to talk about today, Jesus shared this at the very same moment, the very same time as he's talking about being the gate. As a matter of fact, it's just a few verses later here in John chapter 10 that Jesus doubles down on this idea of us as sheep, right? Us as these dumb creatures that just follow anyone, right? I mean, not really, but yes. he refers to us as sheep. And so he takes it to a whole nother level when he makes this next statement. After saying, I am the gate, he then doubles down and says, I am the good shepherd, right? And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. We're gonna look at this section of Scripture where he makes this statement. Right after talking about being the gate, he makes this next statement here in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. I'm going to read them to you this morning. It says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." We're going to stop there. Now, if you were here last week, you may remember that we talked about the fact that in previous chapters, or the previous chapter of chapter 10, Jesus does this amazing miracle, right? As he gives sight to a man who was born blind, someone that had never seen Jesus healed, and was this blind man was able to see. And normally, right, you would think people would be excited about this miracle. Here's this person that couldn't see and now he can see. But instead of rejoicing in this miraculous healing, the religious leaders condemn Jesus for healing this man and really for violating their Sabbath rules. We talked about it last week, right? Their Sabbath rules, rules that were created by man, not God. And then they actually not just are upset at Jesus, not just condemn Jesus, they actually reject this blind man who was finally healed and like, yeah, I can worship, I can come into the temple and praise God. And they're like, get out, right? They kick out this man from the synagogue. And so Jesus, seeing this, I'm sure he's a little upset, right? I'm sure he knew it was coming. He knew it was there. But I'm sure he was a little upset with these religious leaders and their holier-than-thou attitudes, right? Because really, when you look in the Scriptures, the only time we see Jesus really get upset with people are those that claim to be these amazing religious people but are really falling short, right? Are really holier-than-thou. And so he begins to point out the fact that they think they're these great gatekeepers. This is what was happening in the beginning of John that we talked about last week. They think they're these great gatekeepers getting to decide who's good enough to enter and who's not, right? They think they get to make that decision as these religious leaders. And so they're deciding who gets in and who doesn't. And he begins to point out the fact that you're not the gatekeeper. I am the gate, right? And then they think, as self-appointed religious leaders, that they are the shepherds of God's people, of the Jewish people. We are the religious leaders. We are the shepherds of God's people. And here in John chapter 10, he says it like it is, right? You ain't the gate, and you ain't the shepherd, right? Jesus is the one that decides who gets in and who doesn't get in. He is the gate of salvation, as we talked about last week. And then he doubles down on this whole conversation again as he makes the statement that we read just a minute ago, saying, and you're not the shepherd. I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Now, some of the times, I just wish I could be there when Jesus said these things to the religious leaders, right? But I can only imagine how much this statement ticked these religious leaders off, right? Because Because not only is Jesus using the phrase "I am," which we talked about, right, is a statement in and of itself. He also now says that I am the good shepherd. And his religious leaders, they would have been knowledgeable of the scriptures, right? They knew the scriptures, and they know that all throughout the scriptures, God talks about himself as the good shepherd, as the shepherd. I want to share with you just a few of the popular scriptures that these religious leaders would have been well aware of. There are many scriptures, but I want to just share some that even we are probably aware of. One of the most common ones that we've heard numerous times, it was one of the first scriptures I memorized, besides John 3:16. It was Psalm 23, right? It was the first full chapter I memorized, right? Six verses. But I'm going to read the first four to you. It says this, Psalm 23, 1 through 4. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, right? The things of shepherds, they comfort me. A very clear scripture pointing out the fact that God is our shepherd. They would have known that. And then in Psalm 100, verse 3, it says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture," right? We are His sheep, referring to Him as our shepherd. And then Isaiah 40, 11, another popular verse that the Pharisees would have known. It says this, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart." And like I said, these are just a few of the many scriptures that talk about God as our shepherd. And so the religious leaders, they would have known these scriptures. They would have known them well, and they would have realized what Jesus was saying. Jesus was stating the truth, right? He was making it very clear to these religious leaders who were questioning his authority. He was saying, hey, I am, right? I am. He is Yahweh. He is God, the great I am. And I'm also the good shepherd, right? But the thing is, as religious leaders, they would have also been aware of some scriptures in Ezekiel that talk about bad shepherds, the kind of shepherd you don't want to be. And so let me read to you some prophecy found in Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 6. This is what it says. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves.'" I wonder who this is prophesying about, right? I think we can figure that this prophecy is really about the Pharisees. "Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourself with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." This is a bad shepherd, right? And the religious leaders would have known this scripture. And I'm guessing many of them probably realized that Jesus was basically pointing the finger at them. He was basically calling them bad shepherds. That he was saying that they fit the description of the type of shepherd Ezekiel referred to in these verses so many years ago. And now he is here. Jesus is here on this earth to deal with their mess and to be the good shepherd that God has called him to be, the good shepherd that God has always been, right? And so this morning, I want to take a moment just to look at this idea of Jesus as the good shepherd. Because the reality is, Jesus fulfills all the qualities, right? All the qualities of a good shepherd. And so I want to highlight some of these qualities this morning by asking a simple question. Why is Jesus the good shepherd, right? What is it that makes Jesus the good shepherd? And so that's the question I want to answer this morning. And the first answer to that question comes from Luke chapter 15. Many of us are familiar with this scripture. I'm going to give you the answer first, and then we're going to look at the scripture. And so why is Jesus the good shepherd? Because he goes after the one. He goes after the one. In Luke 15, 4 through 7, Jesus tells this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Many of us have heard this parable. This parable speaks of Jesus' whole reason for being here on the earth, right? He came to seek and save those who were lost. Why? Because they're all precious to him. That's the message of all three parables that Jesus shares in Luke 15. If you're not familiar with Luke 15, Jesus talks about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, right? And the thing is, he cares about those that are lost. The problem is the Pharisees here, and sometimes us, we don't worry about who's lost. We just count who's here, right? Because we could take the mindset and go, well, 99 out of 100, you know, that's an A+, you know, right? I mean, 99 out of 100, that's okay, right? That's a lot of times how we can look at things. But a good shepherd is always going to focus on who's missing. The one that's lost. Because every single person, every single sheep is important to the shepherd. Every single sheep has value. And they're not just lost. They're deeply missed. God cares that they're not there. And so as a good shepherd, he'll go out of his way looking for the one that's missing. Because God's desire is that none would perish. And in verse 16, Jesus says something interesting. In John 10, 16, he says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Now, Jesus is referring here most likely to the non-Jews, right? To the Gentiles, which would have been unthinkable to those listening to him on that day, not just to the Pharisees either, right? And I say this because even the disciples struggled with this reality. Even after Jesus had died and rose from the grave, they struggled with this idea that Jesus died not just for Jews, but for all people. They had grown up believing that they were the chosen ones, right? And that the Messiah was coming to save God's people. And that's true. But we're all God's people. And yes, he wanted to save the Jews. He wanted to save the Israelites. But he came to save everyone. Jesus is saying that he is a shepherd to all. That he is going after every sheep that is lost, even the Gentiles, the sinners. Oh my goodness, right? That's who Jesus was. God loves and accepts all. Capital A-L-L, all people. And he is so gracious and so patient with every single one of us, right? And when he finds us, or when we choose to return to him, here's the thing I love about Jesus. He doesn't scold us. What the heck were you thinking? Right? He doesn't make us feel like garbage for falling, for making the mistake, for going in the wrong direction, for getting lost. He doesn't grab us by the ear and drag us back to the fold, right? Because a lot of times that's that picture. What the heck are you doing? Get over here, you know? And we're like, that's the picture we see a lot of times. That's the picture we think of because maybe that's how we were handled as young people, right? What are you doing, buddy? Get over here, you know? That's not how Jesus responds. He doesn't drag us that way. No. If you look at the scripture, it says he joyfully puts us on his shoulders and carries us home and celebrates. Look. Look at this sheep that was lost. It's found. Praise God with me, right? Let's praise God for that. That's why he's the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd because he goes after the one. Every single one, right? And then I believe he's also the good shepherd because he knows his sheep by name. A shepherd knows his sheep by name. And the thing it says there in the scriptures, and they know him, right? They actually recognize his voice because of the way he speaks to them, the way he loves them. They know his voice. If you were here last week, we talked about two different ways that sheep were kept back in these days, in Jesus' time. They were kept in cities, and they were kept out in the country, right? And if you remember, in the midst of a city, they were usually kept in these large pens, these large holding corrals, where shepherds would bring their flocks to secure them at night. And so these corrals, they were public corrals, big, huge public corrals in the midst of the city. They were able to hold several different shepherds' flocks. It wasn't just one flock that was in there. There were several shepherds' flocks and sheep that came and would be held in these holding corrals. And these corrals were able to hold all these sheep and just need one porter to be in charge, right? Basically, they stood at the gate, they put them in, closed it up, and it was held by this one porter. And this porter's duty was to kind of guard the gate throughout the night. And then when the shepherds came in the morning, to allow the shepherds to come in, and they would call out to their sheep, and their sheep would know them by voice, and their sheep would follow them out of the pen because they knew the shepherd's voice. This, when you think about this, it's an amazing picture of the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. They know his voice. The other sheep are like, who's that idiot? I don't know who that is, right? You know, I'm not going. That's not my lead, you know. And they knew and they would follow him out. And it's this beautiful picture of a relationship between the shepherd and their sheep. And really, the trust between the shepherd and the sheep. And that's because they know how much the shepherd loves them. They're known by name. And they know the shepherd's voice. I'm wondering this morning, do we know the shepherd's voice? In the midst of all the voices we hear in our world, because there are a lot of voices out there, there's a lot of people calling to us and trying to get us to follow them. Do we know the shepherd's voice? Do we recognize the voice of the good shepherd, the voice of Jesus? Are we hearing him call us by name? Because here's the thing, Jesus knows us intimately. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. And I know that because in Matthew 10 and also in Luke 20, it talks about the fact that God has every hair on our head numbered. Every hair on our head. I don't even know how many hairs are on my head, and I know it's fewer these days than what it used to be, okay? I don't know that, but he does. The point is that God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. Why? Because he created us. And not only did he create us, he loves us and cares about us intimately. Jesus is the good shepherd because he knows us intimately. He knows us by name. And then my final point this morning is this. Jesus is the good shepherd because he lays down his life for his sheep. This next week is what many refer to as Holy Week, right? As we're heading into Holy Week. And it's a time that we're encouraged to remember and reflect on this very truth of what Jesus did for us. Jesus came to this earth to save his sheep. And he did that by ultimately dying on a cross, right? Not for anything that he did. It wasn't like, oh, he messed up, death on a cross. It wasn't for anything he did. He died on a cross for us, for our sins, to save the lives of his sheep. This is the greatest act of love that there is. In John 15:13, it tells us, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And the amazing thing here is that Jesus died for us before we were even his friends, right? Jesus died for us when we had our back turned on him. Jesus died for those that don't even care who he is. He laid down his life for all of us. Now, this is completely opposite of the bad shepherds that we talked about in Ezekiel, right? They expected the sheep to serve them, to lay down their lives for them as the shepherds. But here, Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. On the cross, it's interesting, he is both the Lamb of God who gives his life for the world, right? Who is that lamb replacement, that sacrifice. But he also was the good shepherd on the cross who laid down his life for the sheep, who gave his life for us. As we head into Holy Week this week and begin to approach Easter, my encouragement for all of us is to reflect on this reality that Jesus is the good shepherd. What he did, the fact that he died for us, he laid down his life for each of us. And he loves us. Why? Because he knows us by name. And as we think about this truth, I encourage us to take time to think about all the voices in our lives, right? Some of those voices are encouraging. We love some of those voices. Some of those voices can be hurtful. We don't like those voices. Some might just be white noise that we've just simply learned to live with, right? There are voices all around us. But as we take time to think about these voices, I really encourage us to consider Jesus' voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd. Do we know? Do we know what that voice sounds like? How do we tune out the other voices and just hear his voice? When was the last time we took time to not just spew out all the things we want from God, but to listen for his voice? And when was the last time we actually heard his voice? And maybe for some of us, if ever, right? Have we heard the voice of the Lord? Because if this is a completely foreign concept to any of us here, my encouragement is that you ask Jesus, Lord, the pastor here is saying that you're the good shepherd, that I should know your voice. Speak to me. Help me to hear your voice. Ask him to help us hear his voice, right? Lord, help me to hear you in the midst of the chaos of this world and all the voices. Lord, Help me to identify your voice. Help me to know you the way you know me. To know how much you love me, to hear your voice. And my encouragement as we walk through Holy Week, let God speak to us this week. As we reflect what he did for us. And as we lead into next Sunday where we get to celebrate his resurrection. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you came to this earth because of your love for us, because you are the good shepherd, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you died on the cross for our sins because we needed a Savior. We couldn't do it on our own. We needed you. And so you came and you paid the price so that we could have life, Lord. Help us to know that, to understand that, to realize that you are the good shepherd, that you care deeply about us, Lord. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone in here today that has never heard your voice, anyone today that has never acknowledged that you are Lord, that maybe today they'd make that decision to say yes to you, Lord. To realize that you are the creator of this universe who loves each of us, who cares about us, who knows us intimately. May we choose to know you as well, Lord, to realize who you are and begin to live the life that you've called us to live. Thank you for the example that you set for us. Thank you for the example that John shares with us throughout the gospel here of who you are, Lord. You are the good shepherd. You are Yahweh. You are the great I am. And so, Lord, we thank you for these things. Continue to speak to us. Continue to help us grow in the things of you, to love you, to know your voice, Lord. We give this week to you and all that we do this week. Be with us, Lord, as we reflect and remember who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.